in Maseches Megillah and Daf Dali. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi. If you have a Gemara, it's about 10 lines up. First word on line. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Chayev Adam Likro Sech HaMegillah Balayla Ulishno Sabayom. Chayev Adam Likro Sech HaMegillah Ulishno Sabayom. Before we even move on, any horrors worthwhile noting? Lishnos is a funny lashon. What are we trying to do? Read the Megillah Balayla Ulishno Sabayom. What do you do again? You read it again by day. Why not just say Chayev Adam Likro Sech HaMegillah Balayla uvayom. It's a funny lashon, worthwhile to know. Shenemar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk: Elokai kara yomam v'lo taneh, v'layla lo dum yali. All day long, I'm vocal. I call out, and if by layla I'm not quiet either. So you see, there's yomam, there's layla, and there's a pasuk from Tehillim Perek Chav Bet. Any horrors on that? At first glance, it's not to do with Megillah. It's not even found in the Sechta Megillah. You'll notice there's no other drush on the entire Masechta. That doesn't come from the Megillah, with the exception of one pasuk. Those of you who are learning Megillah for Purim or whatever it is, you'll notice that. It's a worthwhile, noteworthy point. Yeah?
Can you repeat
what
the sentence?
The pasuk or the... Amr Shabbat Levi, Chayv Adam Likros is Megillah Balayla Ulishno Sabayom. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
What about Yosef? What?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. It's uncommon. Extremely uncommon. Sovra mino l'mikroi balayla v'lemitna matnizin didei v'imama. They thought, I assume the Talmidim of Yeshua ben Levi thought, that the appropriate practice would be to read the Megillah by night v'lemitna matnizin didei v'imama, and to learn the Mishnayot by yom. Again, exactly. Where does this come from? The Mishnah. Amr Lehu Rav Yirmiyah Lididim Mifrashin Alei Minei Zeh V'chiyah Bar Avin Ki Gon Zarmiyin She'avar Parasha Sadah Ve'etna. No, that's not what it means. I'll relearn the Parsha once and then I'll chazer it. I use different words in English. I said used, which is an English learn, and I said chazer, which is an English word. And therefore what I've done, even though, you know, I'm reading it twice, but I'll use the term reading once and chazering once, you know, and what's it called? And even though the different vocabulary is used, different words are being used nonetheless, it doesn't mean there's a different action, it's just, I'll read it once and I'll review it a second time. And although the two questions we ask, number one is Lishnos is an important Gemara, number two is this thing with the Pasuk, on a conceptual level, the major issue which has to be dealt with is Bechlal, what was the svar for such a Havmina? Why did the Talmidim think that the goal and objective of the Megillah Or the Pu'ula HaMitzvah, the Ma'at HaMitzvah by Laila was different than the Ma'at HaMitzvah by Yom. That the Ma'at HaMitzvah apparently was, they thought, intelligent Talmidim, L'chor, the Gemara doesn't quote idiot's mistakes. Rather, L'chor, there's a good HaMitzvah, and that was how the Imam thought it, that the Ma'at HaMitzvah by Laila is a Kriyas HaMegillah, and the Ma'at HaMitzvah by Yom is what? Learning Mishnayos, reading through Mishnayos, teaching them, etc., etc. And obviously, we're going to try to analyze that Havmina and figure out, not only the Havmina, but rather, but also, what changes in the Maskana, what's the difference? What's the Svar for the Havmina, what's the Svar for the Maskana? You follow? Shmuel, you good? Yitz, you good? Rock, you with us? New, if you had to break down this Havmina, how many parts, in order to explain this Havmina, how many assumptions are there, what are the parts behind it, what's going on, why does the Havmina make any sense? What would anyone suggest such a thing in a million years? Besides the textual language, again, it does come from Lishnosa, but again, the Maskana didn't think Lishnosa meant that, the Maskana knew what Lishnosa meant. What was the Svara for the Havmina? The textual basis I understand, and that we've already discussed. Yeah?
It was just a different thing.
What?
The Mishnah is supposed to carry the name, so it was the meaning of everything, what's the Mishnah, and all this stuff is happening during the day. So, I'm sure how when they originally, when they see what was called the first Mishnah,
I think what you're saying is correct. I want that broken down to the components, the different assumptions based upon it. I think what you're saying is correct. Break it down. How many parts in your two or three paragraphs you just spoke out? How many parts are there? Meaning, I'm going to try to summarize what you said slightly differently.
I say there's only one denomination that doesn't double once, and it seems like it's at night, and during the day, there's other aspects too.
Yeah, but you get the impression there's more of a connection to it than that. I would say slightly differently, yeah?
When you have two resources that look very similar, you have to ask, are they the same or are they different?
That's definitely an important question one has to ask. What's the interconnection, what's the relation between the Gila Bayom and the Gila Bayom? It's definitely worthwhile. I'm not sure there's two points of the assumption. I thought the Hamin had the following two assumptions. Number one is that the goal of the Megillah experience by Laila and the goal of the Megillah experience by Yom are fundamentally different, A, and B, therefore they're expressed differently. Meaning the Gemara just shot right at step number two, which is we express through the Megillah, we're doing something different by Yom or by Laila, which is lechora based upon a different conceptual understanding of what we're trying to accomplish. Based on a different goal. In other words, A, assumption number one is that the goal of the Megillah experience by Yom and the goal of the Megillah experience of Laila are different goals to figure out exactly, iron out, articulate exactly what they are. And because there are different goals, different things you're trying to accomplish, you accomplish them differently. You read the Megillah, which accomplishes goal X by Laila, and you learn the Mishnayos by Yom, which accomplishes goal Y by Yom. You follow that? In other words, anytime you're doing two different actions because you're trying to accomplish the goal of those actions. And therefore, there are really two parts to it on a conceptual level. There's the goal, and then there's the manifestation of that goal in the pu'ula, in the ma'isa ha-mitzvah. If that's really the case, for chora, what is the maskana?
Either.
Correct. Finish.
So, either the goal of night and day are the same. And the difference is purely texture, is purely just the word choice of words. Or you could say that really the goals of night and day are different, but you do them the same way.
Exactly. Does the Maskana reject the second assumption of the Havamina only that the Maisa HaMitzvahs that we do are not different, but nonetheless the goals remain different? The goal of Laila and the goal of Yom are not per se the exact same, they're still fundamentally different. Just happens to be they don't manifest themselves as we initially thought in the Havamina. They're different, they just don't lead to different pu'ulas. Or does the Maskana say, no, they're the exact same. One is just a review of the other one. One is just a second time doing it. So of course, we mentioned different words, but fundamentally the same. Which goes back to a methodological point which Eli made a second ago, which is anytime you ever have a mitzvah done twice, one should ask, what's the relationship between them? Are they two different aspects, or are they two, or just repetitive? Tefillin Shal Yad, Tefillin Shal Rosh, are they together complements, or are they just two different things? Kriyat Shema Balayla, Kriyat Shema Bayom, are they two different things, just happen to be, they have the same text, but different goals, one is Laila, one is Yom, or is it the same thing in repetition? There's a machlokas, how many mitzvahs is Kriyat Shema Balayla Bayom? Is it two different mitzvahs, or one mitzvah with two parts? Tefillin Shal Yad, Tefillin Shal Rosh, one mitzvah or two mitzvahs? Karban Tamid Shal Shachar, Karban Tamid Shal Bein Harvayim, machlokas HaRishonim, one mitzvah or two mitzvahs? And therefore, Megillah reading over here, what's the thing? Is the same thing repeated, or is it fundamentally different? The first nafkamina which comes to mind, or potentially comes to mind, although this potential nafkamina would be about the bracha of Shehechiyah. If you look at the Gemara, as you look at Tosfos at the bottom of the page, Divrei Matzil Chayavim Likros is Megillah Balei Lishnos Abayom. Amari says the Ri, then we shouldn't quote the Ri, the Rush, the Mordechai. Some people have it, I think the Chachmei Sfarad have the name of Rebbeinu Tam, but not in any event, there's this famous shita of the Ri, which is Da'af Agav the Mevarach Man Balayla Chos the Mevarach Oso Bayom. Even though you make a bracha Shehechiyanu Balayla, you make another bracha of Shehechiyanu Bayom, indicating that there are two Shehechiyanus made. That is the shita of Tosfos. That is the shita of Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Rama Paskin, this way Halacha L'Maisa. And Ashkenazic practice has been exactly that, to make two brachos shechiyon, one by Yom, one by Laila. However, the Sephardic practice is contrary. Sephardim, following the Shulchan Aruch, who really sets back to the Rambam, believe that there are essentially one bracha of shechiyon made on both Megillah readings. And if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Megillah, Parakas, Halacha Gimel, Rambam says this out, Mitzvah Lekros Es Kula, Mitzvah Lekros Balailu Vayom,
Right.
ברכת השם, תלכים מהחולם שהחיינו וקימה ביום הזה. וביום אינו חוז מברך שהחיינו. The Rambam says you only make two brachos by yom, three by laila. And one could suggest that this is the nafki midas, our shaylus, our chakira, as to whether or not laila and yom are essentially repetitive or are fundamentally different. If they're fundamentally different, there's a new dimension, there's a new goal, there's a new aspect added to the day, you make a new shehechiyanu. If there isn't a new aspect, a new goal added to the day, you would not make a shehechiyanu. Before I begin to move into the crux of the shiur, the second half of the shiur, the fundamental part of the shiur, which is, what is the potential added dimension or element on Bayom that does not exist by Laila? What is there in addition by Yom that there isn't by Laila? Before I get into that Nakuda, I just want to flesh out a few more points based on this Machlokes about Shehechiyanu in the Rishon. Questions, comments, thoughts? Valid? Don, you good? No, you good? Not yet. Okay. The truth is this Machlokes about Shehechiyanu might depend upon the Chakir we just raised, but it may depend upon a few other issues. I thought essentially, behind the Reed, there were three independent assumptions. Behind the Reed, the Rush, the Mordechai, the Ramah, Tosfos, all these Rishonim, there are three fundamental, the Rishonim will believe you say two Shehechiyanus, there are fundamentally three major points. One is a very subtle one, which is, and again, before I begin to this, in terms of Rishonim who disagree, there's the Machabes, there's the Rambam, there are many Rishonim who disagree, not just the Rambam. What are the three assumptions going on over here? I thought they were as follows. The first one is a subtle one. Number one is that Megillah b'Laila and Megillah b'Yom are two independent mitzvahs. It's not that there's one mitzvah, two parts. In order to argue that two Shehechiyanus are made, you need to have two different mitzvahs. As long as it's one mitzvah, two independent parts, needless to say, how many Shehechiyanus would you make? One. And does anyone disagree? Does anyone believe that the Megillah is one mitzvah with two separate parts? So the Rogachar makes a diuk in the Rambam. Tell me which words is Medai, so I'll read the Rambam again. In Megillah Aleph Gimel. Nigrol is the Rogachar, we're going to say it called Tafas Paneach. In there, he has such a haiku. Mitzvah lekros es kulo, mitzvah lekros balayla uvayom, v'chol halayla kashar alayla, v'chol yom kashar alayla, v'barach blah blah blah. What's the deal? Mitzvah lekros balayla uvayom. Mitzvah, one mitzvah, lekros balayla uvayom. Seemingly, you get the impression from the Rambam that what? There was mamish one mitzvah to read balayla uvayom. It could be, that's point number one, the first major assumption that may be disputed, the way the Rogachev, so the Rambam versus, let's say, the Chachme Ashkenaz, which was shown recorded earlier on, as to whether Megillah is one mitzvah or not. L'may nafkamina, besides Shehechiyanu, there's a second potential nafkamina. Let's say a person converts for a morning. A guy walks into the yeshiva, he's totally blown away with what's going on. He's like, if this is Judaism, count me in, right? He sees, like, you know, Judaism looks like a lot of fun, you know, it's Namish Purim, you know, it was that dancing crazy, you know. He decides, that's it, tomorrow morning I'm going to convert. Next morning he converts. What question should be asked? Is he chayiv in Megillah reading? Bayom or not? That's the machlokas 2 days in the Yerushalmi. And the Rogachev alludes to it. That lechor is an major machlokas in the Yerushalmi. And the lechor, it lines up to group of this shayla as to whether or not kriyas and Megillah is one mitzvah with two parts or two independent mitzvahs. That's assumption number one. Assumption number two is that not only are there two different mitzvos, but rather this new element, a new dimension added in the second day. Or is it just a repetitive thing? And that's essentially the hakir we developed based upon the two alternative reads of the Maskana back on Daf Dalet. There is a third element which I'm not going to discuss in depth even at all right now, but I'll allude to it. People should be aware that methodologically speaking, one may have to analyze the nature of Shehechiyanu as well. In other words, it could be everyone agrees about Megillah, and it could be all about how many mitzvot it is, and how many parts it is, and how many dimensions are new, or different, repetitive, and the whole machlokes is about the nature of Shehechiyanu. When do you make Shachianu? If you lift up a lulav the first day, you only make one Shachianu. If you lulav, but maybe Megillah is that, who knows what? In other words, it could be the machloket, again, just to break it down on a conceptual level, if I want to understand whether or not you make a Shachianu on the second day of Megillah, it depends either upon the nature of the second day of Megillah, i.e., a second mitzvah versus a first mitzvah, or even if it is a second mitzvah, a new dimension versus a repetition, or it could depend upon the other major, conceptual halachic principle over here, which is the brachas of Shachianu. This year it's not going to discuss at all the nature of Shachianu, although it's worthwhile analyzing it, and potentially one can come up with a chakira there, and imagine it's not focus as well, being that we're focusing on Megillah reading, Balai Luvayom, we're not going to discuss the Shachianu part of the sugya. Again, one last nekuda before we get into the major discussion, which is what is the difference between Megillah Bayom, Balayla, and Megillah Bayom, if there is a new dimension, if there is a new aspect, if there is something being Mischadish Bayom, what is that? One more little nekuda before we get into that, which is the Shita of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is of the opinion. He has an interesting shaila. Let's say a person's in jail, carcerated. And the jail says, listen, we'll do you a favor. We'll allow you to perform one mitzvah of Megillah. On a practical level, I'm not sure exactly how often this case comes up. Unfortunately, not because there are zero Jews in jail. But I just don't see it happening often. So he wants to know, should you hear the Megillah by Laila, or should you hear the Megillah by Yom? But let's say a person can only make it whatever, for whatever reason, should the Megillah by Laila by Yom. Yeah, obviously, if you can hear both, you can, but for some reason, you mamish can't. Whatever the case may be. The Baal Kora, you're in jail. If that's the case, any other hesitants in the world. So he says as follows. At first glance, I would say, in my view, in all my mitzvahs. That if you have a choice to hear mitzvah now, mitzvah later, which one do you do? Now you don't have to have a mitzvah that you can do later. However, he argues, if you would say that Megillah has a new dimension during the day, then potentially what could one say? A ma'avirin is forfeited in order to accomplish the greater mitzvah by yom. And therefore, if it's just a repetition, you would not repeat it because Laila is the first thing. However, the second day, if the day mitzvah, the second reading has a new dimension, a new element, a new aspect to it, then potentially one would say, let's waive the principle of A ma'avirin. Although not worthwhile to get to the depths of it now, it does make an interesting assumption about the nature of A ma'avirin, which is what? What does that play about Ein Ma'avirin?
It only applies when they're equal.
Exactly. It only applies when the mitzvahs are equal. In other words, if we know there's a greater mitzvah coming up later on, it could be we'll waive Ein Ma'avirin al mitzvos. That would be probably highly debatable if I had to guess. I haven't looked at the sugya of Ein Ma'avirin in about 7 or 8 years, and I don't remember this nekuda, but it seems to me that sounds like a very controversial halachic statement. I can't imagine that everyone's going to believe Ein Ma'avirin only applies when the mitzvahs are equal. Especially because when do you know mitzvahs are equal? Are all mitzvahs equal? It should be an extreme limitation. It could be, maybe just to sharpen it slightly, Ein Ma'avirin applies if the mitzvahs are equal or if we don't know, which is 99% of the mitzvahs. However, if we do know, meaning it could be goof of the svar for Ein Ma'avirin is, you don't know which is more important. So therefore, don't pass it up. However, in this one unique context of Megillah where we do know it's more important, obviously pass it up. In any event, Mirat Hashem, when they will talk about the bracha of Shachianu, when they will talk about the bracha, the concept of Ein Ma'avirin, but for our purposes right now, we're discussing Mikra Balaylo, Mikra Bayom, and therefore, that's where we're up to. Before we move to the potential new dimensions, new extra parts that the Kriyas Hayom may have, let's just quickly take around the question. Deli, what's up?
I was going to ask a lot of questions. If you tell someone to listen to the first or second?
Me first?
If someone's in jail and they ask you.
Second.
Is it second?
Yeah.
Forget if someone doesn't convert in the morning. Even according to the day that it's one mitzvah with two aspects, should we set aside in the ordinary?
No.
Even though we can't hear the first part, why should that? Like, if you can't do a whole mitzvah, you say you don't do any of it?
Or no, exactly. If you can't lift up a lulav, do you think you should do any value picking up by Rava? Only?
What about Moshe?
You ever say, half of don't know, half a Shema Shema Yisrael Hashem, and you stop right there and think you got half a mitzvah? Most likely not. Most likely not. It would be difficult to make an argument that such a concept exists. Very difficult to make a concept that such an argument that concept exists. It wouldn't be impossible. I could potentially see there's a mamash tangential. There's an interesting minchas chinuch who believes that if you have pachos mishir of matzah, there's religious value. The mitzvah of matzah is a kezayis. If you have a kezayis, better to have a kezayis than zero. But that also is a halacha in shiur. There are a lot of differences between those. It's a big jump to take over the minchas chinuch, which is highly debated. The Mishnah disagrees. Many disagree the minchas chinuch. It's based upon a few assumptions in and of itself. It's a controversial minchas chinuch halacha, and to assume that can be applied to half of other mitzvahs over here, I'm not sure you would take chatzi shiur in the context of two megillah readings. That would be very surprised if you do, and therefore, I don't think I would. You know, again, it's a nice thing to do. It acclimates into Jewish culture. Everyone else is, you know, the first day he converts, he doesn't jump to shul per morning, pasnish, you know what I'm saying? But on a halachic level, no. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like the svar for your mother on this was, you might, you don't know if you're ever going to have a chance to do that. So again,
that's one possible svar. Maybe there are others.
Maybe.
So before we get into the new elements, it's worthwhile just to look at Tosus's rayas. So again, Amri and Abdal. Amri, take with Tosus. The Afal Gaz Mevarach Zman Malayla Chozem Mevarach Osol Bayom. Take the bracha again. He brings four rayas. Number one is the Iker Pesume Nisa Havi Bekriya Diyamam. Number one is that what? Iker Pesume Nisa Diyamam. Why is the Iker Kriya? Why is Iker Pesume Nisa? Why is And we shouldn't have Iker Kriya or Iker Pesuminisa, exactly. We have why is Iker Bayom, number one. Number two is Vikra Nami Mashmakain, the Siv Alaila Lodomili. It sounds like all day long I call out. At night I'm not quiet either. But the emphasis, the focus, there seems to be clearly on the Yom element. Kalomer Afagash Kore Bayom Chayv Likros Balaila, Vikr Havi Biyamam, Kevish Skira Kasutchim, Vigam Iker Hasuda Biyamam. And furthermore, not only is it true, here comes argument number three, not only is there Iker Pesuminisa is Bayom, and not only is there the Pasuk that says Bayom, but the Su'udah also takes place Bayom. What question should you ask on that?
So what?
Who cares? Just because it is done Bayom, therefore I know, that's why Iker Kriya is Bayom, because the Su'udah is Bayom.
Wouldn't it have the whole part?
I'm not sure. I'm just answering the question. I plan on answering it, but I just want to ask it right now. Because I'm going to come on. If achla balayla lo yotei de chavas, the gemara does that in the base right. If a person eats their suda balayla, they're not yotei de mitzvah, and therefore Tosfos believes because and then we should believe there's no value in suda balayla. It's worthwhile to note that Rabbi Yehuda believes you do have suda balayla, but it's definitely not the ikka suda balayla. And Tosfos is for sure assumes that there's no mitzvah suda balayla. And that's what we're learning right now. V'hachi nami mashu v'chiv yizkarim v'nasim v'iskish z'chiv asiyam ma'ikar asiyam v'imam av z'chiv atein. Essentially, Tosfos has four major rayas, four major arguments, I should say, that you make a new shechiyanu bayom. Two of them are based upon sukkim, which seems to be proofs, and two of them are based upon logic, which seems to be explanation. And just on a methodological note, it's worthwhile to note that anytime I ever want to convince you of anything, I can either convince you that my argument is right. Listen to the reason, listen to the explanation, it makes so much sense. Or I can say, I don't know why, but I have a psukim that seems to support it. Tosfos has two of each. There are two psukim that seem to indicate the yom is ikr, and he has two svaras. Number one is the ikr, kriya, ikr, psukim, is bayom, and number two is that the suda is bayom. So as we go through and figure out the potential different understandings as to what the yom, the kriya bayom, is being mechadish, let's just take into account what Tosfos has in mind. So what I'd like to do is go through four different chidushim of Rishonim and Acharonim that may shed some light on what Kriya Bayom has that Kriya Balayla does not have. Sigmund, you follow where we're going? You with me so far? Christian, you good? He lost you. Where did I lose you? I'll give a brief summary to where I'm up to. Essentially, there's a machlokas harishonim as to whether or not you make a new shehechiyanu bayom or not. If you don't, one of the reasons why, the one we're working with today, is because it's just a repetition of the same old thing twice. Alternatively, one could suggest that there's a whole new aspect, a whole new element that exists in the kriya bayom. What is that new dimension? What is it? I'm going to make four suggestions. Sound any good?
Yeah.
Mark, you good? Mark's you good? Schwartz.
What happened to the three assumptions? Are you in those three assumptions?
The first one may have been a machlokes 2 days in Yerushalmi, the Rambam was supposed to say, so there's two that Nafkamina would by be converting. The third assumption is about the nature of Shehechianu. That I'm not discussing in the context of this year. The middle assumption as to whether or not it's repetitive, there's a new element, that the Yom Mechadish something is really what I'm getting into. What is the Mechadish and how did that work? So, potential answer number one. Many Achronim suggest that the Kriya HaMegillah is the mitzvah d'Araisa? Obviously not. Is it mitzvah d'Rabbanan? Salvi Pashas is, however, many believe that there's a new a third halachic category called Divrei Kabbalah. I think it comes from the Nevi'im, it's like a Divrei Kabbalah. What are the halachic significances of Divrei Kabbalah? Potentially, it has a suffix l'chumrah. While most mitzvahs are suffix d'araisa l'chumrah, and most mitzvahs suffix d'rabbanan l'kula, there are those who argue. I forgot exactly what I saw, and I forgot if it's known to be who I saw it in, or if it's the Eger, if it was the Shagasari has a sefer on Megillah called, what's the sefer called? I'm blanking. There's a Torah Yemen. I forgot, I think one of those three Achronim who write that, in other words, if you had a Suffolk Megillah, you would go to Chumrah. And it's a Dinim of Daraisa. I think the Rosh Salvation pointed out his grandfather Rav Chaim made a diuk in the Rambam, not that way, that even if it's Kabbalah, it still goes to Kula, it's Divrei Rabbanan. Nonetheless, it has unique status of Suffolk, of Divrei Kabbalah. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Tav Reish Tzadi Vav of Zion, he writes that an Oni usually can't eat meat, can't drink wine, because he's an Oni. Over here, it actually can do it on Purim, because Purim is Divrei Kabbalah. And therefore the Nodi Yehuda takes this concept of Divrei Kabbalah and he limits it only to Kriya Bayom. He says the Kriya Bayom is the Divrei Kabbalah, but the Kriya Balayla is not only Divrei Medrabana. The Nodi Yehuda, in his Tshuva and Nemalis, Shut Nemalis, the Nodi with the Simon Nemalis, the Nodi Yehuda writes that this chiddush of being the Divrei Kabbalah is a unique halacha only for Kriya Bayom, but not Kriya Balayla. And therefore, potentially, if it's a Suffolk Bayom, you would go back and do it. If it's a Suffolk Balayla, you would not. Again, potentially, something that is the Rais L'chumra, Tirekala L'chumra. And that's argument number one. And the Noam Yehuda himself actually says the reason why we make a new Shehechiyonu Bayom is because it's Divrei Kabbalah and has a higher status. The Noam Yehuda himself says these words, he articulates it, the reason why we make a new Shech Yonu Bayom, according to the Ashkenazic practice, is because it's Divrei Kabbalah. Now the truth is, that's a great pshat, it's the Noam Yehuda's pshat. It doesn't seem to be Tosafot's pshat. It doesn't seem to be Tosafot's alluded to the words Divrei Kabbalah, how Su'udah and the Psukim and the Iker Kriyas and the Iker Persumenista Bayom doesn't seem to have any relevance to that, and therefore I'm going to open this up as a possibility as to why there would be a new dimension by Yom, but I don't think it's Tosafot. The second Nikud, I just want to make on the Noam Yehuda is this new aspect that triggers a Shehechiyonu, is it a quantitatively greater one or a qualitatively different one? I thought not. I thought at first glance, I don't know of anything different by Kriya, I just know it has a higher status. I don't, it's not like...
It's Noam Yehuda though. Because it's
bigger, it's not different. It's bigger, it's not quantitatively different, just quantitatively more. It's the same old thing, just with a higher halachic requirement. The makor is no longer just Rabbanan, now it's Divrei Kabbalah. It elevates it on a ladder, but doesn't make it, you know, on a horizontal level, it's greater. On a horizontal level, it's no different. It's just quantitatively more. There is, however, a second suggestion that I saw in Achronim. It's based upon an interesting Gemara. The Gemara writes in the Tesach Megillah Daf Yudal that we don't say Hallel on Purim. Anyone know why? The Gemara has three explanations. Two of them are big famous Zionistic explanations. The one is that. What are they? Number one is the Nisim took place in Chutz La'aretz. You only say Hallel on Nisim that took place in Eretz Yisrael. The second one is at the end of the. The second conceptual one is that you don't say Hallel when at the end of the day the Jews don't have self-autonomy. At the end of the day, we're still slaves to Hashem, not slaves. We're still, we don't have our own self-autonomy. We're not autonomous, we don't have a self-governing body. At the end of the day, we're still under the governing body of Ahasuerus, the Persian Empire. Therefore, we don't say Hallel. The other explanation, which actually is in the middle, but I mentioned before, because conceptually it's fundamentally different, is that Kliyasar Zuhi Hallel. Now, why is the third answer fundamentally different? Correct. It's not that we don't need to say Hallel because, rather, it's we do need to say Hallel. And therefore, if I phrase the question up, should we say Hallel on, or you would either say no, because Achashverosh and Eretz Yisrael, or you would say yes, but Kriya is a manifestation of it. And therefore, there's a din that Kriya somehow has Hallel, or could have Hallel-like qualities. There are any halachic nachimimis to the Shaila, so I'd like to suggest potentially exist. Halachic nafkamina number one is based on Meiri. You know the Meiri? The Meiri writes, that if, let's say, a person finds himself in a city or a country where there is no Megillah around and he cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, what should he do? Say Hallel? Unbelievable. There are those who disagree. It's not just the rabbi on that. It's not true. It's not that Hallel is infused in Megillah, but somehow, you know, and therefore it's not, you don't need it, but rather the one around is low tick new Hallel because we have the Megillah, which is not like the Meiri, but nonetheless, the Meiri type of beliefs that if a person doesn't have a Megillah and he finds himself somewhere where he has to read Megillah, the halacha is, say Hallel. There's actually an interesting situation. People know there's one of my time singers called Evan and Jaron. You know who they are? They're on the radio, they're like on Z100 and all these things. They have songs. You look at her, she looks at me, she got me. They're Jewish, they're from, they grew up in Atlanta, they went to yeshiva, you know, they got married, the women covered their hair, they got to like school and everything. They're mamish very from, they're mamish like very successful people. I found about that eight, 10 years ago, they were like on the radio a lot. So Z100, if I'm not mistaken, had them in Jamaica, and there was like a whole special thing after Jaron in Jamaica. And it was over Purim. It was not just like February, March time. So they needed to hear a Kriyas HaMegillah. They weren't sure what to do. So Z100 flew in a friend of mine, Ezra Cohen's name is, to read the Megillah for them. And there was some type of mix-up at the airport. And I was never thinking, you know, when he came back and told me the story, he made it there, he read the Megillah for them, and they did the concert, Z100, the whole deal. But beforehand, if you wouldn't have made the flight, I was thinking, perhaps they did the Meiri, should they say Hallel? They're stuck in the middle of Jamaica with no Megillah from B'nai Torah, hopefully this is from people. You know, would they read the Megillah in such a scenario? Interesting Shaila. And the Meiri would have to say yes. On a much more practical note, if Purim falls out on Shabbos, what's the halacha? Do we read the Megillah? No. Says the Prima Gadin, what? You should say Hallel. I asked him, never thought I could be machmir for that. He told me no. I'm like, no, without a bracha. He's like, no. I really thought it was such a lambda shachomer. I really wanted to be machmir for that. I restrained myself. I didn't. I really wanted to be machmir. I love chomers like that. To say, how about a bracha on Shabbos that falls out? It would have been such a kick for me. I really enjoyed that type of stuff. I should be machmir for that. Prima for Gadol. But never thought told me I shouldn't. So I listened. He asked, what are the post get authority? Tells you no, so you listen. But I really wanted to. In any event, if this is really correct, do you think the Meiri would have told Evan and Jaron to read Hallel Bayom and Balayla or only Bayom? If there's no Megillah, they can't hear Megillah Balayla, and they can't hear Megillah Bayom, how many Hallels would have to say one Balayla or one Bayom or only one Bayom? Now it's tough to know, but probably what? Probably only one Bayom. When the Megillah Mara says, Mikros Zuhi Halewa, is it referring to Megillah Balayla? No. It's referring to the Chiv of Hallel that you say on other holidays like Chanukah, where you only say it Bayom. So too poor, you would have only said it Bayom. And therefore, the Choru, what can you conclude that's helpful for us? Who can draw the conclusion? Exactly. Megillah Balayla has one aspect to it. What's that one aspect? Kriya. what added dimension, what added aspect does the Kriya Vayom have, Hallel, and potentially, because there's a whole other element, there's a whole other part, there's a whole other din. The Megillah Vayom has two dinim. There's another level, there's another stage, there's a whole other aspect of the day to the Megillah reading, and therefore, potentially, there's another reason. Reason number two to suggest that the Kriya Vayom has a Shachriyanu, because it's going on the Hallel. Now, even though you don't say Shachriyanu on a Hallel, it could be, this is not a classic Hallel. This is a new type of Megillah, which you do say Shachriyanu. There's Megillah Shel Kriya, Megillah Shel Hallel, and each one of those attains its own Shachriyanu. This suggestion, I believe I saw it by Daniel Feldman's son, Vita Desfarim. I thought it was a very clever suggestion. I don't think it's Pshat Tosfos either, because Tosfos, again, makes no allusion to Hallel. If anything, he makes allusion to Seuda. But nonetheless, there is a new dimension added that could suggest a reason to make a new Shehecheyan Vayom. I have two more suggestions to offer, and buckle up. These are like big chidushim. Big chidushim. One bigger than the next. Yeah.
How do you figure out the meter to tell you to say only one Hallel at Yom?
I'm not 100% sure, but Lechora, one again, we asked the question, when should you say Hallel on Purim? What's the answer? You don't need to because the Megillah. Now, that question, you should say Hallel, and the answer, the Megillah covers it by the Megillah, by Yom and by Lila, or only by Yom?
Why do you say only by Yom?
Because Hanukkah, if you say Hallel, is only by Yom. And the Tzion, who say Hallel, you might have to make a Hallel by Lila?
Yeah.
No?
We didn't use it.
No, we don't.
Oh, you're right.
That's Pesach.
Yeah, no, Pesach.
Okay, Pesach is a different story. But 99% of the time when you make your witness of salvation, you make a Hallel only by Yay. And Pesach is a totally separate discussion also. In other words, it's not the same place as Hallel, it's a different type of Hallel. In any event, I can see one argument that Hallel makes its way to all the Megillot, but I definitely could also see one saying, no, only the day which is standard. Yeah, with the stuff.
I think hearing
the Megillot
different because,
yeah, correct.
What is that? It's not a classical saying that they were, come to the Megillot to look at the Shabbos. They weren't up from the Megillot.
How do you think differently? The Meiri guy never saying the Prima Godda, you're saying Megillot 2 days before. In other words, the Prima Godda is a step of a bigger fish. You understand why? The Meiri is like, if you're not going to have any Megillot, so please say Hallel. The Prima Godda, if you're not going to have Megillot after on the day, you still say Hallel. But anyway, it's worthwhile. I gotta go right there. But first, one thing to Ara. According to this second day, the second approach, it's no longer just a quantitatively greater Kriya Vayom, it's qualitatively different. There's an extra dimension. It's not just more, it's different. Vayter.
It can't be that you say Hallel on Shabbos because what about the farm that are marking the Yom HaKnisa? They still don't say Bo by Yom Hallel.
I'm not sure what they would do, but I have to think about it more if this people got to say, well, it's a question, it's a fair question. The third is a shita called the Binyan Shlomo. The Binyan Shlomo asks three questions and then drops the bomb. Three questions and drops the bomb, although I think the bomb is actually found in earlier, I found it could be alluded to in an earlier Achman. Where did I see it? I think I saw it in a Kriya Chadash, the Prima Godda as well, maybe. In a different Prima Godda. The Binyan Shlomo asks the following question. The first Mishnah in Megillah is Mechadish. If you live in a small city, the Bnei Kfar, you live in an out-of-town place, where it's in a small place and you can't do Kriyas Megillah, what are you allowed to do? Magdim Eliyahu Maknis, you can read on the Sunday or Thursday before the 14th. So many ask. Thursday or Monday, correct. Monday or Thursday beforehand. Why after Monday, Thursday? Good question. The discussion, they're showing exactly how it works. But leaving for the meantime that question out, because Monday and Thursday are the days you meet. I apologize if I said Sunday. Monday and Thursday are the days you meet. So what did the Bnei Kfarim do at night, the night before? Good question, right? They came in that morning. What did they do the night before? So there are many, many shikas and rishonim that answer it. But that's one question, number one. Question number two, the Ben Yishlomo points out, is a Mishnah on Daf Kaf. And the Mishnah lists Kafman Beis, if I'm not mistaken. Kol Hayom Kosher L'Kriyas HaMegillah V'Likros HaHalol T'Kiyah Shofar T'Kiyah Slula T'Kiyah HaMusafin. And there's a tremendous list of mitzvahs that you can do by Yom. And it says, Kol Hayom is Kosher Hayom. Then the Mishnah continues. It says, Kol HaLayla is Kosher L'Kiyas HaOmer V'Lahak T'Chalav V'Evarim. And the Mishnah says, Zaklau. Call Shem Mitzvah Bayom Kashu Kol Yom. Davish Mitzvah. Call. I'm sorry. Davish Mitzvah Bayom Kashu Kol Hayom. Davish Mitzvah Balayla Kashu Kol Halayla. If this is the case, and you find Megillah Bayom to be the first example of a Mitzvah Bayom, it is very surprising, points out to Ben Yishlomo, that the Megillah Balayla doesn't make it to that Mishnah. We're in the middle of Maseches Megillah. You know what the first thing on the list of the Kol Hayom, Kashal Hayom is? Megillah. You know what doesn't make it at all to the list? Megillah Balayla. That's question number two that the Binyan Shlomo asks. Why is it that when the Mishnah gives a list of many, 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 many mitzvahs that you can do all day long or all night long, is Megillah Balayla not on that list? After all, the halach is true by it. We're in the middle of Maseches Megillah. Fantastic question. Question number three is, where is the first indication that Kriyas HaMegillah exists by Laila? It's a Gemara. I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi. Who is Mechadishit? Shulman Levi. Nowhere before? Ayomi has been holding the Sefer full of Mishnayos.
There's no mention.
In all of the Mishnayos, there's not one mention. And I'm going to add on to the following question, which we mentioned earlier on. It's ironic that they didn't take Sukkim from the Megillah. Argues the Binyan Shlomo a more ridiculous. He says Mordechai and Esther were attacking the Megillah only by Yom. 500 years later, after the Mishnayos were already sealed, the Amoraim developed the mitzvah derabbanon that you should read Megillah Balayla. There's a historical gap in terms of when the chiyuv was created of 700 years. You follow? Unbelievable chiddush. In terms of our conceptual question of how similar or how different are they, you know what according to Ben Yishlomo would say? They're so much different. Not only could they stand alone, they did stand alone for 500 years, they're fundamentally, conceptually, at different extremes. They're not linked at all. And that's why, what did the B'nai Kfarim do? You know what the answer to what they did? Absolutely nothing. You want to know why? No one did anything in those days. You want to know why the Mishnayos in the second parak and Mishnah Kaf didn't mention Mikra Balayla? Because the Mishnah didn't have such a mitzvah. You want to know why none of the Mishnayos mentioned Megillah Balayla? Because it doesn't exist. You want to know why it only comes up with Rav Shua ben Levi? Because he was the one who was Mechadashit. And it could even be the reason why we have a Pasuk in Tehillim and not a Pasuk in Megillah is to show the difference, and especially, this is not the Ben Yishlomo, but especially if you want to go back to what the Noda B'Yehuda said, that one is Divrei Kabbalah, one is Derabbanan, I understand perfectly, because one is from the Nevi'im, and one is only from the Amoraim. Again, that last part of the Divrei Kabbalah is not mentioned in the Ben Yishlomo, but it does work out very nicely. If this Mahalach is correct, historically speaking, even if they're not Divrei Kabbalah, but they're both Derabbanan, or both, who knows, if they're both Derabbanan, historically speaking, when Mordechai and Esther were attacking, what were they attacking? Bayom. Did you make a shaft beyond them? Absolutely. When the Amoraim came along hundreds of years later and added the Megillah Balayla, do you think they canceled the earlier shaft beyond that they didn't make for hundreds of years? Absolutely not. And therefore, we find ourselves making two shaft beyonds. The Rambam believes. Either the what would the Ben Yishlomo say for the Rambam? But there are one or two things. Either he disagrees, and most likely everyone does, with this entire historical presentation. Most of the world do not believe this is the end. It's an unbelievable chiddush. All your life, what do you think? The Chazal made the same shaykh at the same time. That's one thing. If the Ben Yishlomo had to defend the Rambam, they would say that it changed when the shaykh Yadu was. In other words, they didn't just leave the old shack yet, and they moved it from the night to the day to the night, and maybe from now on would have maybe. I'm not sure. Difficult to imagine the Rambam really believes this mamish, especially according to the Rabbi Shavar's presentation of the Rambam, it's mamish one mitzvah. I mean, the Rabbi Shavar's on one extreme, while the Rabbi Shalom was on the other. You follow? Chiddush number four, this is really, even if you think out of the Chiddush, buckle up. I'm going to combine two Chiddushim, each suggestive of a salvation, although I don't think they're necessarily dependent upon each other, nor do I think they're both needed for this Chiddush, for the worth approach, but nonetheless, I do think they're both unbelievable. Chiddush number one is even maybe even more moridic, maybe even more chedshani, maybe even more extreme than the Bnei Shlomos. If you appreciate how big chiddushim are, in the chiddushal meter, it could be the Rav's first chiddush is even greater. The second chiddush of the Rav, which can be used even without the first, and I'll explain how when I'm done articulating the idea, maybe in and of itself, you know, used, but buckle. Chiddush number one of the salvation is that Purim starts in the morning, and the night before is not Purim. The night before is not Purim. Now, before we even, the major question we're going to have to get back to is, why are we reading the Megillah at night? But before we get to why we're reading the Megillah at night, let's just develop where this came from. What triggered it to say such a thing? Is there any proof to it? Maybe today is Purim. Big Chiddush, right? You wouldn't believe it because I have no proof. So before we figure out exactly why we're reading the Megillah according to our salvation, at night when there's no Purim, let's just figure out where Bechlau this came from. So I think there are four major rise to this Yisrael realm that I'm aware of. Number one is the Shita of Rav Amram Gong. Rav Amram Gong writes that should you say Al Hanisim Balayla? No. Not unless you've already read the Megillah. Now, if it's Purim Balayla, what would I expect? Al Hanis. If there's no Al Hanis at night, it's not. This is far from Amram Gong, Rav Amram Gong explained, potentially, because it's not Purim at night. However, once you read the Megillah, for some reason, you make an Al Hanis, but not because intrinsically it's Purim. That's Raya number one. From the fact that there's not an automatic recitation of Al Hanis and Balayla, you begin to see potentially that what? It's not Purim. Argument number two, and this comes up halacha ma'aseh for us who live in Yerushalayim. What days do you read the Megillah if you're traveling? If you live in the 15th, awesome, you read the Megillah 15th. If you live back in Lawrence and Teaneck and West Orange and London, when do you read the Megillah? The 14th. Let's say you're traveling to Rabbi Harrigan's house, Rabbi Cutler's house, you go up to Modi'in, when do you read the Megillah, when not? The answer is it depends where you are, when? That morning. As a salvation, you know what it should depend upon? Where you are? The night before, that's when the holiday begins, right? You know what the salvation answered? No, the holiday begins that morning. Ryan number two. Ryan number three. This is my own, and therefore if it's not correct, I back off. The Raivit has an unbelievable shita. The Raivit says that if a person is really hungry, the real kircha the tzibur, and or a real kircha himself, he just can't do it, you know what he's allowed to do? And break his fast early. You're allowed to just push it to Megillah reading into the middle of the day and just, you know, and then eat afterwards. How in the world can you push so many people, like the Shumas Hadeshen said, what the Raivid meant, and I think this quote is the Yosef as well. What the Raivid meant is you can't push it up all the way to the middle of the day. You can only push it up until Tlag HaMincha. And you can be so mech on a sheet of Tosos that Tlag HaMincha at some level has been like Shia and it's already Mishra the next day. Tlag HaMincha is enough considered Purim that you can read the Megillah and you can be made Yellow such a thing. It is Purim. However, the Truma Kadesh's presentation is that the Beis Yosef presentation, if you look at the Raivit's words himself, I think, if I'm not mistaken, do not mention anything about Tlag HaMincha. I think it's the Beis Yosef, maybe the Truma Kadesh, I forgot which one, maybe both, I'm not sure. It's others who stick that into the names of the Raivit. Again, I've never seen anyone say this is original, so I'm not sure if it's true, but potentially, what could one say in the writer if those achronim are not correct? You can even push it up earlier on into the day. You want to know why? It's not connected to Laila because of Purim. After all, Purim only starts by Yom. You can push it up earlier. You can never, no one would argue you can make Kiddush Friday morning. No one would argue you can, I don't know what. What? Yeah, in other words, there's certain things where it's not Yom. You know what I'm saying? Again, maybe Kosta Shabbat is different, but ignoring those dollars. How in the world could you do it? Not Purim is such a salvation. It was never Purim. The Chi of Balayla is never Purim. What is it? Let's think about it. And here comes the fourth raya, which is the simplest but the most subtle but the most brilliant. You know what's the last raya? When do we do Shalach Manas? Only by day. When do we do Suda? Only by day. When do we do Mikra? When do we do what's the last one? Atanas Mavioni? Only by day. Why? Because we're salvation. Because it's by you. If this is correct, maybe I could understand what raya of Tosfos? Tosfos says, Suud is Bayom. What the heck is he talking about? You know what he's telling me? The mitzvah is Bayom. Why that is Suud and not Shalach Manas, not Matanis Lavionim? I'll deal with it. Either because the whole purpose of Shalach Manas may be to enhance your Suuda, as the Truma Sadeshim says, we discussed last week. Maybe even Matanis Lavionim has that purpose. Or maybe because Suuda is the most indicative thing. For example, on Pesach, the holiday of Pesach, how many Suudas do you need? Two. One by Laila, one by Yom. On the holiday of Sukkot, how many Suudas do you need? Two. One by Laila, one by Yom. Which is the greatest proof that Purim is only by Yom? The fact that there's no Suuda by Laila, only a Suuda by Yom. And that's why the Iker Pursuing Issa is there. You want to know why? Because that's when Purim is. If this is correct, an unbelievable Chiddush Torah, it's like if you didn't understand why you make a Shech Yom by day. You still have to figure out why would we be dealing with Laila. And that's the second half of the Rosh Chiddush. I don't think you expect the two Chiddushes together. I'm still going to begin. And even if you don't like the first Rav's tremendous Chiddush about Purim, nonetheless, I think the second alone is suffice to answer the question anyhow. I think
the first one's really cool.
The Vilna Gaon has an unbelievable, unbelievable rabbi. In Shulchan Aruch, when Machab and the Ramar debating as to whether that person should make a new Shech and the Mayom, the Gaon says, I'll bring you a rabbi. I'll prove to you that the Ashkenazi practice is correct. I'll prove to you that the Ramah is right. I'll prove to you that the Ri and Tosfos and Mordechai and all these are right, that the Rambam and the Lama Chacham is far from the Chavis, etc. Says the Rav, and these days we don't follow this halakha, we don't practice, we don't implement it, but nonetheless it's Pirshish and the Gemara. If a person wants to make, when does a person make a bracha of Sheikh Yom the first night? Right? And he makes Kiddush, he gets his Zukkot. He makes a Sheikh Yom. He says the Rav, there's another halacha. You can also make a Shech Yanu when you, anyone know? When you build the Sukkah. You can make a Shech Yanu both Leil Sukkot as well as when you build the Sukkah. What's the obvious problem on the Grah? Therefore, just like by building the Sukkah and fitting in the Sukkah, he makes you Shech Yanus. So too by Kriya Malayim. And Kriya Malayim he makes his Shech Yanus. Yeah? That's the Gra's argument. What is the obvious soft spot difficulty in the Shita Sanan of Gra? What's the building going missing with Chora?
It's not
Sukkot
when you're making the first
Shech Yanus. The building of Sukkot is not Sukkot, which someone helps the Rav. But even further, what?
One is
goof for the mitzvah, and one is just a preparatory act. Maybe we can suggest. Why are we reading the Megillah Balayla? What's the answer? It's a preparation. In other words, the Megillah Bayom is the Iker Kriya. That's what Tosfos means. It's the Iker Kriya, the Iker Pursuing Issa. Why? Because you've already read it the night before. The night before, we instituted a new, an additional Kriya in order to do what? Prepare ourselves. We read Balayla to get a basis. We read by Yom to understand it with depth. If you haven't heard the story in a year, it takes time to refresh you. If you heard it last night, it's a lot fresher. If that's correct, I understand the gross rider. Building a sukkah prepares for sitting in a sukkah. Reading at night prepares for reading in the day. If this is correct, I understand why the ikkar kriya is bayom. It's this kosis of Lashon. The ikkar kriya is bayom. Why? Because that's what I'm trying to accomplish. The kriya by day. And if this is correct, just to tie back into the text of the words, chayiv adam likros has a megillah balayla. What? Lishnosa bayom. To what? I mean, how does Gemara interpret that? After the Hamiyah of Maskana, Amr Lahu Rabbi Yirmi Elididi, Mefreshina Minedah Bechia Barav, I'll tell you what he means, he goes to Amr Yinshi, Avor Persha said, Dov Etne, I'll read it once, and then I'll review it. Why are you reviewing it? Because you want more comprehension, you want more understanding, you want more Havana. L'chora, if you take these two Chidushim of the Rav, if you take only the second Chidush of the Rav, you can explain why there's a new Shehechianu, and that's very good. But if you want to explain what Tosfos is doing, both in his argument of Pesumenisa and his argument of Seuda, it could be these two Yisodos of the Rav are very helpful in understanding what's going on in Purim. Number one is that the night before is not Purim; it's Bayom that's Purim. That's why you make the Shachyanu Haraya Seuda, and specifically Seuda versus Shachman and the Bayom. Although, if I'm not mistaken, there are other Shem who quote Matas of Yom HaShachmas as well, which further supports the point. Well, if that's the case, why am I reading the Megillah by Lila? You know what the answer is? To prepare for the day. And therefore, when it comes back to our original question, is Yom and Lila the same thing, just repeated twice, according to the Rambam and others? The Mechaber, maybe yes. According to the Tosfos and the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the reading of Rebbeinu Tam, know that one is, there are two different goals. The first one is a preparatory, it prepares one to read. It's a hachana, while the kriya bayom is gufa the mitzvah, what we're trying to accomplish, the kriya with more persumei nisa, as Tarzan said, the ikka persumei nisa, having been created the imam, but why, if it's the exact same words I'm reading, why is there more persumei nisa bayom? The answer is, everyone already knows the story, because you heard it last night, you prepared ourselves for it.